It's a tough time to be a young person in our world, anywhere. And I recently got a chance to interview a younger man. I mean, he's 29, but for me, that's a generation younger. His name's Lou Valentino, and he's got a YouTube channel called LV Nation. I'll be playing that interview for you coming up pretty soon. It was really interesting for a number of reasons, but I specifically asked him about what do people his age and younger tend to think about job prospects and the rise of AI and the data centers and all that. And I think this is a fair summary. And he said that a lot of young people are just giving up on the job market, giving up on the idea of owning a home, giving up on the idea of getting ahead, giving up on the system, because the system just seems eternally rigged against them. And a lot of young people are turning toward communism or socialism, where they want the UBI handouts, you know, the universal basic income. They want the government to take care of them. And he and I both agree that that's a very dangerous and concerning trend when young people feel like they are completely priced out of the job market and that their only means of survival is going to be communism, where the government pays them to be consumers. Now, but what's the real source of all of this predicament that young people find themselves in? Well, it's not their fault, by the way. The real source of this is currency printing. The real source is the Federal Reserve. As long as there is a system where a certain group of people can print their own money and they can spend that money as if they earned it, where it's the same value of money of everybody else who actually did have to earn it, as long as that system exists, then the younger generations will be pushed into increasing poverty generation after generation. Why? Because those who can print all the money for themselves will, of course, print the money, distribute it to each other, and buy up all the assets while making the dollar increasingly worthless for everybody else. So who owns all the real estate today? You know, the boomers, for the most part. That's who owns the real estate. Nothing against the boomers, by the way. But a lot of the money came from government money printing. A lot of the money that has been used to, you know, buy up a lot of the real estate. It's government printed money that went to, you know, weapons contractors or pharmaceutical companies from government contracts and things like that. And as a result, then, this money was printed and distributed, but never earned. It wasn't earned. It was just printed and handed out. So if you are an income earner and you're 25 years old and trying to earn your way, you know, to be able to afford a house, you now have to work an insane number of hours, if you can even find a job, to be able to afford the same house that one or two generations earlier would only require a fraction of those hours. Now, the first house that I ever bought, I took a loan on it. And it was the first and last time I ever took a loan on any property. And I think that was a 15-year loan, which is very unusual for homes. And it was a fixed interest rate. And I wanted to get out of debt as quickly as possible. So I made it a point to pay that off as quickly as possible. And my wife and I had that home paid off in some number of years, maybe it was 5 years or something like that. Because we worked, and we took all the money that we had saved and we sent it to the bank to pay off the house. So we prepaid our mortgage big time, and however many years it was, maybe it was 5 years, then we owned a home free and clear. From that point forward, we never looked back. We never took a loan again, not on a home or even, I don't think, a car or anything like that. Because I never wanted to be indebted to the banking system. Even if I had to live on less, which was fine with me, or if I had to have a smaller home or an older home or an older car, I really don't care that much. I'm not into luxury living. I'd much rather live out in the country, you know. So I didn't really care. I just wanted to be free. But today's youth, even if they share those same values that I just described, they don't have the means to be able to earn the money to pay off that house in 5 years. The idea of buying a house and paying it off in 5 years today among 20-something year old people, that's a distant, impossible dream. The math just doesn't work unless you happen to have, you know, like rich parents or something who pay most of it for you, or you happen to be a tech company innovator that gets VC money or something crazy like that. But most people don't have those opportunities. So we now have a generation growing up here, young adults, who do not have ownership. And when they don't have ownership, then they don't learn, you know, some of the lessons of ownership, that, well, there's a risk with ownership and there's maintenance costs with ownership. And it's very easy for them, as my guest had stated in the interview, to say, well, somebody else should take care of me. Somebody else should give me money for food stamps or money for housing or money for whatever. And that leads to socialism and then communism. So socialism makes a lot of sense to people who are impoverished and feel like there's no way to get ahead. And that's why one of the things that was beautiful about true capitalism, if we ever really had that, was that it gave you economic mobility. It gave you a way to earn your way out of poverty. And, you know, really, my wife and I are good examples of that. I mean, I grew up in a middle-class family, and she from a lower middle-class income family. And we were able to build, you know, successful businesses and reach, and to ultimately reach, you know, hundreds of millions of people over time with incredible information about health and nutrition and personal empowerment, off-grid living, decentralization, things like that. And we worked at it. We earned it the whole way. You know, nobody gave us a free ride. If anything, we were censored and deplatformed the whole time and punished, and in some cases debanked. And, you know, every sort of weapon you can imagine was wielded against myself and my company and all of our projects the entire time. And yet we made it through. And that's due to your support, by the way. So I genuinely thank you for all of your support. But today, it's much more difficult for a young person to be able to build, you know, to build a content base, to build a website of articles, to build a following, to build influence, when you start out day one with extreme censorship. You see, when I started back in 2003, we didn't have extreme censorship. I was able to function for about 11 years before the censorship started taking me offline. For 11 years, I built, you know, naturalnews.com and quite a following. And, you know, thousands of articles, and I would write an article every day, some days more than one article, and I would do podcasts, and I had a YouTube channel, and I had hundreds of thousands of people on Facebook at one point, believe it or not. And we were advertiser supported. I still remember 1 month, Google paid my company $100,000. We had earned it, you know, we'd earned it from advertising on our content sites, but $100,000 in 1 month from Google is not possible today if you talk about natural cures and the dangers of vaccines and the kinds of topics that I talk about every single day. Google won't pay you anything. So being young today and attempting to build a following, to build a business, to build an income, to build any kind of assets or savings, it's much more difficult than it was when I was young. And I know it's easy for people who are on the older side to look back at the younger generations and, you know, criticize them for whatever reason, you know, their music sucks or, you know, whatever it is. But the truth is they actually have it harder than we do, than we did. I mean, and also, can you imagine growing up with social media when you're in high school? I mean, what kind of emotional trauma would that be? And social trauma, to have your life scrutinized by your peers through Facebook or Instagram or whatever, all these social media accounts. Anything you do gets shared by everybody else. And there's no such thing as getting together and having a, you know, a party where the world doesn't find out about what happened at that party. I mean, my God, just looking back at my high school years and being on the track team and one year on the football team, and just some of the bizarre things that happened, some of the things that, you know, the coaches did, like ranting and raving. Today, that would be like a viral YouTube video. Back then, it was your high school, you know, football coach. Or some of the weird things that happened at the parties that probably all youth have witnessed or experienced. You know, today, that would just be all over the place, all over the internet, and you would have no privacy. You'd never be able to live anything down. Even if you did something stupid as a young person, some mistake when you were 17 in high school, you drank too much, you barfed on the wrong person or whatever, you were, you know, photographed nude in a party or from a dare or something like that, right? You can never live it down. That's a tough life. That's a very difficult life. And people of my age, and maybe your age listening to this, that is people who are older than, let's say, you know, 45 or 50, whatever the case may be, we had privacy when we grew up. We had privacy. We were able to do things that the whole world didn't find out about, which is actually healthy because you're a kid. You're a teenager. You're allowed to make mistakes when you're a teenager, especially. Heck, you're allowed to make mistakes in your 20s, you know? And today, nobody's got that. So the mental stresses, the social stresses, and the economic stresses all combined on today's youth are very difficult for older people, I think, to comprehend. Now, granted, younger people today have more access to really cool technology and AI tech and high-powered computers and self-driving cars and, you know, all kinds of cool things like that. But in many ways, their lives are much more difficult. And so the reason I say this, by the way, is because we need to think about where this is all headed. What happens to a society when people can't get jobs? When an entire generation can't necessarily get a job, huh? Or most of them can't. What happens when an entire generation doesn't have any real opportunity to get ahead, to innovate, to learn a skill on the job? Because they're all being replaced by AI or robots eventually. That's coming too. What does that mean for society? You're going to have a whole generation of people who are left behind. And when they're left behind, then you're going to end up with anger and a lot of mental health issues and eventually some kind of a backlash. And that backlash is probably going to be a pro-socialism, pro-communism kind of backlash. And at one point, they will probably have the voting majority because the boomers aren't going to live forever, are they? Huh? Nope. There's a lot of people dying off right now, especially those who took all the jabs. And there's a lot of younger people joining the voting ranks now, or even running local government, for example, and they have very different ideas about how the so-called free market system failed them, didn't work for them at all. So when somebody my age argues for, you know, we need free market economics, and they're like, that doesn't work. I lived through it. It failed. Even though I could point out, hey, we never really had free market economics. We had rigged markets and we had government interventions. We had the government picking winners and losers. Excuse me. I almost said lunars. We had that too, actually. Government picking winners and lunatics. But we never really had free markets, but it was packaged as a free market. And thus, a lot of young people today think free markets don't work. They're wrong, but they've never seen a free market. And frankly, neither have you or I. Not really. No. Even just the free market of ideas is no longer tolerated by society. You try to have a free market of ideas, and sooner or later, you're getting banned for criticizing Israel, or you're getting banned for protesting a data center, or banned for opposing, you know, transgenderism surgeries for children, or whatever the case may be. You're getting banned and blacklisted because the free market of ideas, oh, no, will not be tolerated, not by the Democrats nor the Republicans. Not by the establishment at all, nor the tech giants, for that matter. So we need to understand that when the revolt comes, it's not out of the blue. It's not without some cause in the minds of those who are revolting, just to be clear. I'm not advocating whatever revolt comes, and I'm not going to be part of it. I'm just saying that we need to understand where it's coming from. It's the disenfranchisement of probably two full generations of Americans who will be revolting against the system. And if we, the elders, if we don't understand why they're revolting, then we need to open our eyes and understand what they're facing. And by the way, the solution, again, is to stop the dollar currency printing and have honest money. If we had honest money, every generation would be doing great. If we had honest money, we wouldn't have an oversized government that was always starting wars and printing trillions of dollars to fund the Department of War. You see? So the answer is not communism. The answer is honest money. The answer is gold, you know, or a gold-backed currency. That's the answer. But that's not the way the youth are going to see it. They're going to think that the answer is communism or, you know, radical left-wing socialism. What do they call it? Democratic socialism. That's what they call it. But that's really just communism. That's the government running everything. And by the way, the GOP isn't really opposed to government running everything. They just want the government to run everything in their interests. They want the government to choose the winners and losers in big tech and AI and the data centers and the oil industry and the defense industry and whatever else and big pharma, etc. So neither party in the American political system believes in small government and honest money, because that would take away their power. That would lead them to having to answer to the people. Oh my God, they can't have that. That would be the last thing that they would tolerate. So the money printing will continue until it fails, until the whole thing ends. And when it ends, then that's when society is ripe for revolution, and God help us all what that's going to look like, because it will not be rational. It will not be bloodless, probably. It's going to be generations of desperate people taking revenge on the system that screwed them from day one, probably. That's my guess. It's going to be young adults who remind the surviving boomers, you know, remember when you voted to pass the buck of the national debt to your grandchildren? Yeah, we are those grandchildren. And now we have nothing. We're left with nothing because of you. That cross-generational anger is going to be intense. It's going to be intense. It's going to be violent, probably. So what can we do to try to prevent this from happening? Well, number one thing that we can do, I mean, get out of the dollar system, number one. Use honest money, gold and silver, etc. But also call for ending the Fed. End the Fed. End all central banking, period. End government debt spending. End it. And yeah, that means cutting government by, what, 90%? I don't know. That's a good thing. Doge didn't even go far enough. It should be Doge times 10. Doge didn't even cut 1% of government spending, actually. So we need Doge times 90. Government's got to be small so that people can keep the money they earn, and the monetary system has to be an honest system. Then we would have social cohesion. Then young people would have a chance. They'd be able to earn their way into their own abundance, their own home ownership, their own assets, and they would feel more secure in their lives. And we should support an honest money system that helps every generation achieve financial security. Crypto can play a role in this, of course, especially, I would say, you know, privacy crypto. But even Bitcoin itself can't be counterfeited by governments, not easily. I mean, they can use ETFs and rehypothecation and things like that, but they can't actually just counterfeit the Bitcoins themselves. They can counterfeit stable coins, though. That's a different topic. But I say gold and silver are the best store of value. And if you want gold and silver, check out our sponsor, Battalion Metals, co-founded by Tucker Carlson, great American hero, as far as I'm concerned. I love Tucker's work. Go to metalswithmike.com. That's metalswithmike.com. And yes, they're a sponsor. And I trust this company. I've worked with them for many, many years. I know the people, the Ron Paul type of people, pro-liberty, pro-freedom, pro-privacy, amazing, and very honest, high integrity. If you use discount code RANGER on any order, they will waive the shipping insurance fee. And their prices are really outstanding. Highly competitive, high honesty, high integrity, etc. Great people to work with. Again, metalswithmike.com. In the meantime, join me in calling to end the Fed. We need to end the current dollar system. Doesn't mean we have to end the dollars, but the dollar has to be tied back to gold. We need to return to what we had before 1971 when Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard. Or we need to have something similar that works that way, where government can't just print unlimited currency for itself and leave everybody else impoverished, which is exactly what we're living through right now in slow motion. So that's my take on it. And you can follow more of my work at brightvideos.com, or you can read my articles at naturalnews.com. I got a lot of interviews coming up. I think you'll really enjoy them. So check it out at brightvideos.com. And, you know, thank you for listening. Be safe, be well, protect your assets. You're going to need it. Things are going to get tough. All right, take care. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And you can take advantage of our Father's Day sale at healthrangerstore.com/fathers. Now, we have a special selection of items for dads and fathers in your life that you want to say thank you for all of their effort, because, you know, dads are awesome, right? So say thank you. Check out what we have available. We've got major sales on lots of different items. We've got 40% off at least one item, which is a clean chlorella powder, but that's a big discount. We've got lesser discounts, 30% off and 20% off, 12%, 5%, depending on the item. Lots of different nutritional products. You can find them all at healthrangerstore.com/fathers. In addition, we have partner discounts that are a big deal. 30% off the ARC seed kits. That's really important because, of course, seeds are a great barter item, given that we're going to be facing a lot of food shortages, you know, in 2027 because of the fertilizer situation. So growing your own food is going to make a lot more sense than it ever has. In addition, we've got 20% off Sharkey Forged Steel Tools, including also Nahaya Active Organics, which are very popular with men as well. We've even got, believe it or not, 5% off the new back-in-stock Berkey Gravity Water Filtration System with the special fluoride filter elements that have been not available for a couple of years. So the big Berkey systems are back in stock. That's a new thing here right now. They've been very difficult to get for a couple of years. So check those out. Again, healthrangerstore.com/fathers. And then on top of that, we have, for example, the BioAstin Astaxanthin Gummies are on sale for 12% off. We've got Joint Astin Vegan Formulas at 11% off. Hawaiian Spirulina Superfood Gummies, for those of you who want to eat spirulina gummies like that. Yeah, they're blue. They are definitely blue. 7% off the Bodacious Blueberry Energy Bars. We've got Almond Butter Chocolate Energy Bars and so much more. We've also got the Protovite Daily Multivitamin Liquid Supplement that people really love because it's kind of an all-in-one. You don't have to take so many capsules to get all your vitamins and minerals all together there. That's a very popular product. Plus many other items on sale and free gifts for you. So if you spend $129 or more, then you get the free organic yellow popcorn kernels that we have here, as you can see, packed tightly for long-term storage in these bags. And if you spend $199 or more, you get our Health Ranger Select organic clean chlorella powder, which is, of course, laboratory tested for heavy metals and microbiology and so much more. And at the $199 level, you get both of these gifts together, in addition to the other savings that you get, our doorbuster deals
and some of the discounts I mentioned, but there are many more. We've even got, for example, freeze-dried mango, diced. It's like eating candy. It's amazing. And also our Breathe Essential Oil Blend and so much more. Check it all out at healthrangerstore.com/fathers, and it begins on June 11th and runs through June 15th. So take advantage of it now. Spread the word. Thank you for your support, and happy Father's Day. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.